time to be busy. There are some people who look back in times of history with sort of a nostalgia, with an idea that there was a time in history when things must have been better. Have you ever been guilty of looking back and thinking, well, things were better back then? I like curious things. I like to go back in history and to have an idea what things were like then. But the more I do that, the less I want to live back then. The less I want to live somewhere in the past. And the one thing about the past is that maybe makes some people comfortable is that they know everything about it. They know the good, the bad times, the good, the bad, and all that was going on. But the present is full of unknown. Full of things that we don't know. But however, I do believe that we live in one of the most marvelous times the world has ever known. And you know why it is so amazing, so it is so fantastic? And there is such a brilliant opportunity and time to live in. It's not complicated. It's because God is saying that you be alive right now. It's the best time you can live in. It really is. Now, if I was wishing for amens, that would have been a great time. Today I want to speak to you and continue the series that we've been looking at. And we talk about resurrection hope. We talk about hope. And though I'm not focusing on narrowing down on the word hope, but in each of these messages, there is a thread of hope that I want, and I hope that you will see. You see, when one thing that I've noticed a lot is when I speak to those who have walked away from the faith, who have somewhere along the line, they were once a believer, they were once active in church, they were once connected to the body, and something happened, perhaps many things happened, and they find themselves distant from God. You know, God is not distant from them. God is not abandoned them. God is not left them. God is right there. The one thing that is true, no matter how far you have moved from God, God is only a prayer away. Yeah. In that sense, God is right there. You may have moved 100 miles away from God, but God is only one step away from you. One decision, one cry. And that is the most encouraging thing that we can know and understand. But when I hear from those who have walked away from God, we begin to enter conversation with them, you know, there is the point where they talk about where God, for some of them, they say that God was not there for them in a particular time of need or crisis in their lives, and that becomes the sticking point, that becomes the point of hurt. And sometimes when they speak about it, they're given emotion because it is so traumatic, so hurtful to them. But when you dig in deeper and deeper, you find that it was more likely not that God was not there for them in their time of need, but it was that God didn't do the things the way they wanted him to be there. That God didn't come through according to their plan. May I put it a little more crass, that God didn't obey their instructions. And that is so often the thing. But you see, God can do the things that he can pray for, heart healthy, believe for. It can happen the way they hope. See, disappointments will always come when we project our will onto God. Set up an expectation. Call it faith if we will. should be, and then comes disappointment. The one thing about God is He is not our servant. He's not the servant of man, but we get to serve Him. We get to serve Him in our generation. We get to serve Him on this earth as we live. We get to serve. Therefore, for us it is important to know, find, and seek the will of God. Because in knowing the will of God, we can walk in His way. And today we look at another portion of Scripture, and we see that there were people that loved Jesus, and people that Jesus loved, but they were left with a very disappointing outcome. Sadly, time to end. We realize that if we think about hope in this message today, that we need to put our hope in God, not on a desired outcome, not on the way we hope to work out. You see, hope on a desired outcome is hope without substance. It's hope that has nothing to cling to. But when we put our hope in God, no matter how things turn out, we still stand sure and safe. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, it's just something that I thought of as we're singing, and I mentioned it. But Paul writes that he says that if we hope on God only for this life, our hope is in God only for the things of this life, then depending on the translation, then we are the most miserable. Then we can be sure that if our hope is only for the material, only for the things of this life, we are going to have misery. We're going to have a difficult time. So our hope has to go beyond circumstance, beyond material, beyond the things of this life. Our hope has to extend to the things that are eternal and that are spiritual. Now that doesn't mean that God doesn't intervene in our lives. It doesn't mean that God sits there and says, well, you know, I'll wait until and only intervenes in spiritual matters. There are times, and we see them all the time, that God comes right into a natural circumstance and He meets a need. He touches and He heals. He changes hearts and He deals with people. He turns around circumstances. He saves people out of crazy, dangerous situations. God comes and He sees Him. But our hope is not only for that. Our hope goes deeper than what this life offers alone. Today we're going to look at John chapter 11, verse 1 through 27. John chapter 11 is one of those amazing portions of Scripture. We will not read all of those 47 verses, otherwise I'll be keeping you here a long time today. Church will be very happy about it because they ask me to go on a long time so they can get through their lessons. But I'm not going to go on and go through and read all 47 verses. But do mark that, write that down, and read this to yourself at home to get all the bits and pieces of what's happening. But John chapter 11 is best known, and if you have a Bible, from the title of that chapter, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And give us a count. A Lazarus is not just some ordinary guy, not some guy that Jesus did not know. Other people that Jesus raised from the dead were in some ways strangers to him, but Lazarus was a friend. Lazarus was someone that Jesus spent time with. He was family friends. They were together on regular occasions. And when Lazarus became sick. Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, telling him that Lazarus was not well. We pick up at verse 3 of John chapter 11. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, this is as if your dear friend is very sick. But when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. So although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Now, that is a simple glance of those verses. I think perhaps your mind is reeling in these.
If you don't think so, then tonight when it's dark
refuse to use any light switches and make your way around the house. Right? Or just take the light bulb out of your refrigerator and see how easily you find all those wonderful stacks that you go there for. Right? But the challenge is that it's because we see we depend on light. Very well, and for us, if the light goes out, you're going to stumble and fall over things and run into things that you don't quite know are there. Sometimes I walk in the building at night, and I don't turn on the light because I think I know my way across the room, but I forgot that since the last time I imprinted a memory on my mind, we moved the furniture a little bit. And I walk into things. Well, why? Because I'm familiar only to a certain point of how things are to be. We walk in darkness, we took over things. And this is what Jesus has to say. He says, you're in the great wisdom, walk safely, and they will see because they have the light of this world. But at night, they will be able to stumble because they have no light. Jesus is the light. So when you come, this is thrown in there so that we can understand something, that in the darkness of our distress, in the darkness of times when things don't work out as we hope, when things don't come to us on the time that we have set, that we've understood we need it by, that things don't happen by our terms, we stumble and we are likely to fall because we are walking in a darkness. We are walking outside the light, but it's important for us to come into the light and to walk into the light with and in the light of Jesus Christ, because He will show you how you are today, how you are going to make it. You put your hope in things along with this world, in the natural things, you are going to find yourself in darkness. You're going to find yourself in despair, and you may even find yourself in a place where you turn to God and say, I don't understand what's going on. See, Jesus did know that the Jews were seeking to take His life. He understood this. But He was on a mission. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, He spoke to the people once more, said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. And later on, here in chapter 11, Jesus is making that statement, or John, as he writes and puts the account together, he's tying these things together, that Jesus is the light of the world. If you don't walk in the light, then things are going to go a whole lot better for you. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he comes and gives us this amazing, this wonderful statement about who we are. Says, but you are not like that, and you don't look at previous to verse 9, what he said you are not like. You are not like the world, you are not stumbling, you are not living in darkness, you are not living in a way that is not pleasing to God, but now you have come to a place where you are walking in the light, and he says, because you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, you are God's own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For He called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. God has called us out of the darkness, out of walking in a place where we stumble and fall and cannot find our way, to a time when God wants to show us clearly how we can walk. We walk by faith, yes, but we walk in the light that Jesus provides. If you walk by faith, it's not walking in darkness. Walking by faith is walking in the light. is walking in the light of His Word, the light that He has come. He has taken us out of darkness and placed us in light. See, Jesus goes on to explain to the disciples that Lazarus isn't dead. And as he did, and that he was going to raise him from the dead. But you see, by the time Jesus left, he goes to Bethany. Lazarus is already dead. Now the truth of the matter is, Lazarus wasn't only dead 2 days. Lazarus, by the time Jesus gets, and Bethany, the journey to Bethany was a maximum of 1 day's journey. You see, by the time Jesus got the news of Lazarus being sick, Lazarus had already died. Jesus didn't delay letting Lazarus die. Jesus delayed for another. He just found the day. You see, that is not the case. But if you read it, this chasm you might be thinking, how many things are true? We know in other places that you say, well, no. Lazarus came to Jesus and said, sure, my daughter said, whatever. And Jesus says, well, okay. Lazarus is going to speak the word. Jesus speaks the word. Then he's made well that very same hour, right? Jesus could have done that. He could have healed Lazarus from a distance. But he did not. And some of us struggle with that. Some of us stumble with that. And not so much that it's Lazarus, but we stumble with it because it comes and reaches home pretty close to us because we have wanted God to come through on the timeline in a situation and we have not. Not according to our plan. But Jesus has a plan. That's what I want to know. The hope is that God has a plan for your life and it's not always as we anticipated. In verse 11, you see that he says, then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up. Now for some of those people, they thought, well, oh, let's see. The disciples said, Lord, if he's sleeping, he will soon get better. What is better for someone who's sick? Rest. Right? Let's know what the doctor says. Plenty of words and rest. Take your medicine, right? They said, well, if he's sleeping, he's going to get better. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was sleeping, taking a long nap. But Jesus meant Lazarus had died. Jesus. And so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Verse 15, come and Jesus begins to explain. He fell. And for your sake, I am glad I wasn't there. But now you will really believe. Come and show Jesus. Now, Jesus is telling something really important that they need to know. Told them that Lazarus was dead. And then he puts in his words, I'm glad I wasn't there. For now you will really believe. Now, it's a good thing to believe. It's another thing to really believe, right? We understand the difference. It's a good thing to care for somebody, or to feel cared for. It's a good thing to really, really feel cared for. Why did Jesus tell his disciples who stood within his ear and did not fully understand who Jesus was? Who the one was his disciples and that was leading him, that was pouring his life into them? God would use this situation not only to build the faith, but also all of those that we hear what he has done. And he raised that to the dead faith and he healed his well. They've seen Jesus heal others. They've seen Jesus raise others from the dead. But in every one of these situations, the person has just about only just died. Just come, Jesus extends the timeline. And in their eyes, this becomes less possible. Becomes more impossible. They were not expecting Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead. The simple reason is Lazarus had been dead for 4 days by the time Jesus got there. And so when Lazarus heard that Jesus was coming, he went out to meet him. And we can talk about Mary and Martha. There's a whole message in there about those two. But we won't get into the details of where they find themselves. But I went to Cain. What is recorded in John chapter 11, verse 21 is something that he said. He said, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. When the disciples arrived, Lazarus had been dead and buried for 4 days already, and everybody was weeping, everybody was grieving. And in some versions, translations of the Bible says, if only you had been here. If only you had been here. And I want to ask you today, how would you finish that sentence in your life? How would you say, God, if only you had? God, if only you had. How would you finish that sentence? What does that look like in your story? What does that look like in your telling of events in your life? Have you had any of those if only moments with God? Have there been times when God didn't come through for you the way that you thought he should? I think there's a personal life that prays, that asks God for anything that doesn't happen a few of those moments. Perhaps they're not as heart-wrenching and memorable as others that we all have. Like Martha, we feel that we let you down. But yet the truth that we don't often talk about, just because you follow Jesus, just because you're a believer, just because you hold out to him and cry out to him, doesn't mean that things will go your way, all that things will turn out easy. It doesn't mean that you can put out a demand in prayer by faith. Attach a scripture to it and have it go your way. John 11, 22, Martha says that even now I know that God will give you whatever you want. Martha has faith. The faith of Jesus said that he will come and do whatever Jesus, or God will do whatever Jesus asks of him. To say to them, but when it comes to actually raising Lazarus from the dead, calling Lazarus from the tomb, and Jesus said, well, let's go to the tomb, let's raise Lazarus from the tomb. Tell me where he is. Well, he almost wants to change his story. Lazarus' reaction is similar throughout. He questions if the tomb should be open. He questions, should this actually happen? Should this occur? In her head, she knew that all things were possible. so when Jesus says, well, let's go to the tomb, let's open the tomb, she says, well, that's not such a good idea. Say, God, if only you were there, if only you would, I believe in you, look. And Jesus comes and God says, well, here I am, let's deal with the problem. And then he said, well, no, maybe something good. You see, in that moment, in that temporary lapse of memory, he forgot that he said, well, Jesus, you can do whatever God wants you to do. God will give you whatever you ask for. I love Hebrews 11, chapter 11. And I often make the statement that you go through, you read Jesus, you go verse after verse, you read all these great things of faith. Of course, Jesus, the writer of Hebrews, leaves out so much of their terrible situations in life, and just hits the highlights where they overcome it, and they all do it by faith. And then we get to verse 35, and it seems like everything is a doctor. Because everybody else has a victory, they come out alive, they win. But in verse 35, it's like, this lot that he's mentioned here, and it's a small, it's condensed, it's not so widely written, that, well, these guys don't make it. But they still do. Come on, there are many who will not make it. But the point for us is not that we will trust in Jesus for this life alone, but we will press in and we will press beyond no matter what the cost, no matter what the call for our lives is, because we need to live by faith. And even when we don't think God is coming through for us, oh boy, He is always in charge. Sometimes Jesus doesn't save us the way we think he should. If only you had, some people might say, kept my parents together, given us a child, made the tests come back negative, given me that job, saved our marriage, found me a spouse. If only you have all these things that you think Jesus would do. See, Martha wasn't alone. Verse 37, it says there that some of the Jews who were around the altar said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? See, they were asking the exact same question that you and I have been asking, have been contemplating this. Well, couldn't he have kept that life? Why could the family, why could his friends, why could anybody do all this? Why not just save them from all the heartache, from the grief, the suffering? I mean, we can go through it all. By the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus has already been sick for a while. His sickness led to his death. Not only did he die, it had been long enough for him to buried him, put him in the tomb, and sealed up the tomb and said, there he is, never for us to see him again. We've got it. See, maybe you've become disillusioned. You say you're a Christian, but to be honest, your relationship with Jesus is more like that distant cousin that maybe you see once a year, or every other year. Or perhaps, worse than that, you only see at weddings and funerals. Easter and Christmas. Perhaps the relationship with Jesus is like that. But like Martha, we focus on the temporary thing that Jesus wants us to see things beyond that. In verse 23, it says, Jesus says to us, your brother will rise again. I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. It's easy just to put it somewhere. It's going to happen way back somewhere in the future. believe in the resurrection happening somewhere else. But even in your pain, even in your disillusionment, God wants to reach you right now. He doesn't simply want you to have a faith that doesn't bring it into your moment. Giving Jesus is saying, oh, yeah, he's gone to a better place. He's in a better place right now, and you'll see him again someday. You know, the kind of thing that we say at funerals? That's what Martha thinks Jesus is saying. He's going to be okay. He's in a better place. He really wants to be. All those kinds of things. And Jesus said, so I am the resurrection and the life. He believes in me to live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I talked to someone just before Bible exploration, and we talked about these three times, talked about how life comes to a close, the end of working years and retire. And for some people, retirement becomes that place where they don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what to do. And for some, it becomes almost a death sentence. Well, yeah, I'm retired. I stop working and I stop living. It's not true for everyone, because what are those years filled with? But the idea is to know that you never, you don't just live, have a time of work, and then retire, and then basically crunch down to the time that you die. But the believer doesn't die. Now, yes, our body dies. Yes, exactly. But what happens is we continue to live. We live in now or in eternity, and we will live and continue to live beyond that. So it's not just a matter of being in a better place, and you're in that better place right now. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and if you believe in him, you will never die, but you will live forever. Now, it sounds a bit like a funeral service, because these verses tend to come out in funerals, and I've been to a funeral service this year. So I know how we talk. But this is not a funeral message alone. This is a life message. This is a way to live. To live knowing that we are living eternal life right now. The ultimate question that Jesus asked, not this, is just, do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Of course, who else can be the resurrection and life but the Son of God? He makes some important claims right there. He claims to be the life, the reason to be alive. The Bible says that he said everything we need for real life and real living is found in Jesus. We find him. Jesus basically says, you know, I am what you've been searching for. You've been looking for a different outcome. You've been looking for a way that things turn out for you. You've been hoping that somewhere along the line things would happen a certain way by a certain time. But what I want you to know is that I am what you are really in need of. I am what your heart is asking for. I am what you're craving. I am alive. And your faith is the resurrection. He says, I'm the one with power over death. I'm the one that gives eternal life. Do you believe this, Martha? Do you believe it? And she said, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who has come to the world. And that's the place where we have to come. That is the place where we have to come. And that is where we have to attach our hope. Is that Jesus is our life, that he is our resurrection, that he is the one who holds the key to what really matters. Not we look for outcomes, we turn terms of natural events and natural season and natural situations. But Jesus wants us to know that he is the one who holds the key to life. We need to go to the scene. We know the story. Jesus comes and tells him, move the stone away, and he calls out, Lazarus, come forth, right? Somebody once said that if he didn't say Lazarus, everybody would come forth. But he called out, and Lazarus comes sort of floating out of there, because he's bound, hand and foot, he's bound and wrapped in cloth that he couldn't do, so he had it closed out, and then Jesus says to him, go on time, set him free. So the thing that they couldn't believe could happen, the thing that they didn't have the faith for, Jesus is able to do. Jesus does. And Lazarus is the life for him. The funeral turns into a party, weeping turns into a celebration. The truth is that only Jesus can save us. And we need to be saved because we can't save ourselves. The Bible tells us, we know it so well, that God so loved the world that he gave his own Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we can't do the thing about our lost and our first time together. There's nothing we can do. The good news is one that we all know. The good news is, this is a preview of things to come, that Jesus will raise again. And so we don't do it here. One of the greatest fears that people have in this life, with some loving, is the fear of dying. Most people, almost everyone, is afraid to die. Now, there might be a few people here or a few people here who say, well, I'm not afraid of that. You can have a tongue close enough to a near-death experience. Perhaps. To have that moment. Because most people are afraid, and some are dreadfully afraid of death. They are really scared about that. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it. And certainly, for them, it is too much of a daunting thing to think about. Jesus wants you to know that you don't have to be afraid. If one thing to feel is to be afraid of death, you will have no desire to live. If you're too afraid of what might happen, because death is something we don't know enough about. You know what the Bible tells us, but it leaves us with a certain unknown quality. Much like people might be afraid. They do not know Jesus, they do not know what's coming. But if you are so afraid, and death, you will have no energy to live your life. Jesus tells us that he does need to be resurrected. He is the resurrection, and he is the life. He can be trusted. What we need is Jesus is not a hopeful outcome, not a hopeful solution, not a hopeful change in circumstances. What we need is Jesus. He is everything we need. He is the resurrection and the life. And he asks myself, I ask you this question today. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? That what we need is Jesus. Not a change in circumstances, not a different outcome, but what we need is Jesus. because no matter what life holds, He is the one who will hold. He is the one who will come to you. You might say, the Lord is only you. Shut up on time. Only you can't control. If only you were here, then you know what you need to be always there. He's always with you. He has never left you. He has never abandoned you. And you never went through what you went through alone. He was true. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you today for those who hear this message. Lord, I pray that you would come to the heart. Lord, I know there are people that are grieving because all those circumstances didn't work out well. Lord, I know that those who are hurting because circumstances, situations didn't change. Painful things happen. Horrible things might even happen. But Father, I pray that, Lord, you would remind us today, as we see in this message, that Jesus, you are the life. You are the one that we need. You are the one that we can call on. You are the one that makes a difference in all things. No matter the outcome. You make the difference in our hearts, no matter the circumstance. So Father, I pray for those who have this real question. Lord, if only you had been your